I don't want to be rushed this morning. I'm not. I want to be calm. I want everyone in this room to just take a second and solemnize the act that we just done. I'm thankful, as Michael prayed, for the cross. I'm thankful that we have the freedom and the liberty to stop and remember what you did for us on that cross. I pray now that as we come to the time of the message, Holy Spirit of God, we realize you're here. And I pray for everyone in this room that the distractions would be minimal. That getting up and needing to go to the restroom, that talking, that whatever it is, the opening and closing of doors would not distract from your word. I pray this morning, dear God, that you would visit with us and that you would take the word and speak to each one individually, that what is meant as a message for all is in fact delivered by the Holy Spirit to each one and is relevant and applicable to each of their lives. I thank you for everything that takes place here, and I pray this morning that if there's anyone here that's never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, that they, like little Maddie, would make that decision. Maybe even sitting right in their seat before they leave, they would secure their eternal destiny before they walk out of this room today. I pray for the Christian that is cold, indifferent, disgruntled, discouraged, hurting, lonely. God, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. Give them what they need to bring them back to a closer walk with you. Bless this time together. Holy Spirit, I'd rather be dead, honestly, than try to do what I'm about to do without you. I know the awesome responsibility and accountability of delivering a message without your power and your presence. Please, God, work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. I talk often about relationships. And mostly that you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a relationship with this church. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a relationship with religion. You can identify with Protestant Christianity, religion, but you need to have a relationship more than you need to have that identity. This morning's message is about one another relationships. The message to some will be and can be taken as husband and wife relationship. To others, one another can be a relationship with the friend that's sitting beside you. It might be to those across the aisle, the owners of Big Branch Church, those people that you call your friends. It might be your next door neighbor is your one another relationship that God speaks to you about this morning. But it can apply to anyone in a one another relationship. And I pray the Holy Spirit speaks to you as a follower of Jesus Christ about those relationships this morning. The text for the message was written by Peter, and he had a very special relationship with Jesus Christ. All throughout the Gospels, he's described as being one of Jesus's inner circle of friends. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. You see them continually being discussed throughout the entire New Testament, especially in the Gospels that speak of Christ's life, of being part of his inner circle. And so this morning, I believe that when he speaks, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to relationships or one another relationships. And he describes that one another relationships are essential to us in our lives, whether it's in our Christian walk, in our church life, in our home life, wherever, they're essential. They're needed for us to have a vibrant relationship with other people. And so this morning, you're going to find, you know, maybe uncomfortable with what Peter says. The fact of the matter is, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, what Peter says is weird. You'll see for yourself in a minute. And you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to get skeptical. And I ask that you put down your skepticism. I ask this morning that you put down your objections. I want you to listen to the whole statement of a man who went through this bold transformation in life. He went from being an arrogant bully that was loud, overbearing. He was mean. He was competitive by nature. He wanted to know who was going to be first in the kingdom. He was quick to judge. He was quick to draw his sword and cut someone's ear out and wanted to fight. He was a rough fisherman by trade. And the transformation of Peter is a complete metamorphosis of his life. I mean, you just, whoo, you can hear it in this one passage of Scripture. 1 Peter, let's read it and then we'll dissect it and pull it apart. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 8. Likewise, you younger people. That could be to anyone in this room, that there's someone else older than you sitting here. You younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. I know there's other people older than me in this room, so that's going to be to me. But in case you're the oldest person in this room, he also says, yes, all of you. So that's going to get everybody in this room. All of you be submissive to one another. And then he goes on to say, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. One another, submit to one another. Younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. And then you got to stop and say, well, wait a minute. All of you submit to one another. Clothe yourself. What's that mean? Clothe yourself. He's telling us to put on humility like you would put on this jacket or your dress, your sweater, your pants, your slacks, whatever you've got, whatever clothing you have on. He says, clothe yourself or put on humility. In other words, be characterized by being humble to one another. That applies to every relationship that we're involved in that is a one another. That can be a you and God relationship. That can be a you and the people on the other side of the aisle or sitting beside you. That can be to your coworker. That can be to your neighbor. That can be to your best friend. That can be to any friend. It can be to everyone. This scripture applies to everyone that is in a relationship with anybody that is a one another. So I would say it applies to everyone in this room this morning. Clothe yourself or be characterized by humility and submission. He's telling us this is relational characterization. And submissiveness is weird. There's a passage in Ephesians that says, wives, submit to your husbands. And I'm not going there this morning. Where I'm going is, Peter says, it's not just a husband and wife, it's for every relationship that we should be in submissive competition. That's what he's saying. In other words, go small. In other words, first is last. Others first in our lives, in our relationships. Back of the line thinking. What would a humble person do? When you say, but preacher, I'm not humble. I know, that's why we're talking about it. Let's practice that. Out loud, everybody. What would a humble person do? What would a humble person... Come on, you can talk louder than that. I know, I heard you before. What would a humble person do? You've got to ask yourself, in every situation, what would a humble person do? And the truth of the matter is that if you'll ask yourself, what would a humble person do, you'll be humble. If you will go small, you'll start being humble. If you'll get to the end of the line, you'll be humble. If you'll put someone else first, you'll be humble. What does that look like for us to be in a submissive competition? What does it look like for us to think humility as Christian followers? Because we all know that's a trait that most of us have to say, but I'm not humble. And if we'll ask ourselves what's that look like, then sooner or later, our one another relationships will look different. No matter what it is, we're not in competition to be first. We're in competition to be last. We're not in competition to get our way. We're in competition for you to get your way. We're not in a competition that says, you blowed the budget last time. Bless God, it's my turn to blow the budget this time. Others first. Back of the line thinking. You be happy before I'm happy. What would a humble person do? And when you look at it from that perspective that Peter's describing, the first thing that any of us have to think is, why would we do that? Why is it that way, Peter? You're the guy that was arrogant. You're the guy that was loud and boisterous. You're the guy that was mean-spirited and pulled your sword out and cut some guy's ear off. You're the guy that denied and lied and... He changed his life. Isn't that what Christians are supposed to be? Is changing your life? Peter's describing this change that came over him. We want to say when someone comes, well, I sure hope they change. They will. Give them time. And Peter's describing to you what this change that came over him looked like, because I believe his behavior lined up with his beliefs. And he's telling us that I changed from that arrogant, boastful, proud, front-of-the-line person to become humility and put others first and a submissive competition. But why, Peter? Why in the world? Why? You know, what's the reason? Well, he tells you. Because God resists the proud. Ooh, God resists the proud. Or God opposes the proud is another translation. It's really what it means in the original. God opposes the proud. Do you? Or do we? Do I? Really, really, really want to be in opposition to God? By being proud and arrogant? Running to the front of the line? Getting my way first? The scripture, Peter describes it as, here's the reason why, because God resists you when you're a proud, arrogant, boastful bully. God resists you. And before before you're too hard on God and judge Him harshly, isn't that the way you are too? Aren't you that way too? Sure we are. We resist those that run to the front of the line. We pull back from those arrogant people, the boastful, the proud, the judgmental. We don't like that, but... Here's the thing. Opposition to God is the reason some of you sitting in this room are not saved this morning. You've kind of stiff-armed God's plan for your life and His remedy for your sin. You won't confess your sin. Well, I'm too proud to do that. I don't need God in my life. Same principle. It takes humility to confess your sin. Trust Christ as your Savior. Admit that I'm a sinner, that I have a need for a Savior, that hell is my destiny instead of heaven is my home. And the way that I get there is by believing that Christ died for me and paid the price for my sins. It's the same principle in our God relationship. We resist and God pulls back. He gives us that invitation to trust. And opposition to the Savior is the same. We fail to humble ourselves whenever He calls. And we lack that desire to trust. And to followers that don't submit to one another, won't humble yourself, won't go small in your relationship, you won't put others in the front of the line, God pulls back from you in your relationship. Why? Because it's sin. You say, well, I don't believe that. The Bible says God hates a proud look. I think that's pretty plain spoken. But God pulls back. It says God opposes or God resists the proud. And the followers that will not humble themselves and be in this submissive competition, God leans away from you, what Peter's saying. And once again, you know, we don't want to be in opposition to God. And don't we, though, really? We're like God. We're made in His image. We pull back from those demanding people. We pull back from the arrogant. We pull back from the entitled. We pull back from the front-of-the-line people. We pull back for those who try to squeeze every little ounce out of us to get their own way and their own benefit. So our relationships struggle if we're not in a submissive competition. If we're not asking the question, what would a humble person do? You say, well, that's all well and good, but what's the benefit of that? Read on. What did he say? But he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Ooh. In other words, when you continue on and look at the remainder, that means God shows favor instead of pulling back or being in opposition to you. God shows favor. He gives grace to those that are humble. He gives you the ability to be favored whenever you humble yourselves in your one another relationships. It even goes on to say, if you look at that whole verse and go through it, he says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Woo. Another relationships are made better with humility and submissiveness. And God favors those relationships, whether it's God's, whether it's a church family, whether it's a work-related relationship, it's neighbor relationships, it's whatever one another you want to place in that. God places favor on those and to the point that He exalts those relationships and exalts you to a position of favor and grace if you go into a relationship and will ask yourself a question, what would a humble person do? Submissive competition. Some of the happiest couples I know are in submissive competition. Woo. So, but that's weird. Yeah. It's Christianity. It's transformation, a metamorphosis of your life from what the world teaches, from what culture teaches, from what we hear and see practiced in most churches. It is weird. But Peter says, if you want to find favor with God and Him not to pull back, you are in a submissive competition. You are in a state of humility. You're characterized by humility. Wow. When our husband and wife relationships and our friendships relationships and our submissive competition, God graces them into extraordinary relationships. God shows favor. And however, if your relationships are he said, she said, and your relationships are they owe me, and your relationships are selfish, non-giving, and your relationships are not of mutual submission and self first, and a constant tug of war, then God's pulling back. God's letting you do it on your own. Those kind of relationships or one another relationships, you know what they end up in? Isolation. They end up in a roommate. I'll go in my room and lock my door. Isolation. They end up, the truth of the matter is that they end up in a place to where that we as Christians move on. Sometimes we move on to a new set of friends. Sometimes we move on to new churches. Sometimes we move on to... But I can tell you that moving on doesn't fix a relationship. Moving on doesn't fix a marriage either. You know how I know? Because where, this is profound, you probably want to write this down. Because wherever you go, there you are. Because wherever you go, there you are. And whatever part of that problem or issue you were, it went with you. Wherever you go, you are there. And we have to realize that we need to quit running. We have to realize that we need to quit swapping out friends. We have to realize that change is what needs to take place, and the change that we made didn't change anything, because wherever you go, there you are. The one that needs change is you. To what? To submissive competition. To humility. Yeah, but I can't. I know what you do. But you don't know what they did to me. But you don't know what she said to me. But you don't know what happened or they did to me at work. Okay. So you want to stay in opposition to God and let Him lean back instead of being in a submissive competition. Instead of, what would a humble person do? Vengeance is mine. That's the way we think. I'll take care of this. I'll get you if it's my dying day. Some of you said that, I can tell by your laugh. That's what Peter was, and he said, here's what I am now. Here's what I want to be. Here's the change that comes over me. And we have to learn that the new girlfriend, the new boyfriend, the new church friend, the new classmate, wherever you go, there you are. And people don't rush into a new relationship saying, we are always going to do the right thing and I want to fulfill you. We don't rush into relationships that way. We want to go into it with our box load of junk. Not really. Hey, she said, we want to go into it with our whoever we are and say, here, take this and fulfill me. But the truth of the matter is that when we change, run, go into a new relationship, if you'll go ask the old girlfriend, the old wife, the old friend, the old church member, we're always on our best behavior when we go into the new relationship. But if we'll go ask those other people, the whoever you are went with you to wherever you are. That's what Peter was saying. And if we be honest, we are selfish. If we be honest, and in the beginning of those new relationships, we're always on our best behavior and happy one another, happy couples, happy Christian relationships, knows that first is last, and Peter was being to the place that he was real, and he had realized that any of his old lifestyle had to change, and that humility and submission was what was going to make a one another relationship be exalted, look extraordinary. Let me give you another one you might want to write down. Performance or pressure to perform in a relationship ought to always equal pause. Pressure to perform in a relationship ought to always equal pause. You say, pressure to perform in your relationship to God ought to equal pause, because the fact of the matter is there's a problem. God does not expect you to perform. He expects you to trust Christ and have a relationship, not a performance. And for us to have to perform takes the meaning of grace away from the situation and the cross. It's not a performance. It's Christ died for you, and He gives grace to you in your relationship if you just trust and honor Him and will humble yourself to believe that He died and paid the price, and you trust Him as your Savior. And pressure to perform ought to equal pause. You've got something messed up. It's wrong. And pressure to perform in your marriage, pressure to perform with your friends, pressure to perform with church people in a church ought to equal pause, because it's a submissive competition. It's a humility. What would a humble person do that's going to exalt a relationship? It's what would a humble person do that God do, that God's going to give favor to those one another relationships. We have got to get to the place that we rethink our relationships, and they're really not relational. We need to rethink performance, because performance is not worship. We need to think that when I wins, we loses. When any I wins, the we in that relationship loses. You lose. Because somebody's hurt. Somebody didn't get treated with submissiveness. Somebody didn't get treated with humility. Somebody didn't get treated like they were special and somebody. What you were in was a performance. We performed, we're in this competition, and our competition led to I win and she loses. Our competition led to I win and they loses. I got allies and I've made this situation to where we won. It's... you lose. We loses when I wins. It's not a sporting event. A relationship's not a sporting event. We're not talking about football, basketball, baseball. We're talking about one another relationships. It's not a competition to win. It's a competition to be submissive to one another. He goes on to say, look at the next part of that verse. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Under God's hand. So I thought God had wings. Well, it says He has hands. Under God's hand. Wiersbe says that that's the safest place you could be, is under the hand of God. What would a humble person do under the hand of God? In a submissive competition, you're under the hand of God. It's the safest place you can be because God is protecting you. It's the safest place you can be because God cares for you. He's got you under His hand. He's blessing you. He's exalting you. He's gracing you. He's showing you favor. He's comforting you when you're in this submissive competition and humbling yourselves in a relationship. When we want to get demanding, when we want to defend, when we want to power up, we need to ask ourselves, what would a humble person do? Why? Because God's going to show us favor. Why? Because we're going to get under the mighty hand of God, and He can create an extraordinary you and an extraordinary relationship, and He's going to exalt in you and through you in those relationships. I told you it's weird. It's the same weirdness that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Same principle. It's weird, but it's Christianity. And most Christians don't act Christians in relationships. It's against the grain. It's counterintuitive. It isn't even what we see modeled by Christian people. Followers of Jesus fail to model humility, submissiveness to one another. It's not what church people do. We love in our churches to give Jesus a black eye. We love showing our community, I'll show you. We love when I wins and we loses. I got my way. How many churches have split over I win and we loses? I'll promise you, there's not a place anywhere, a church in the world, that this was not the problem in the beginning. I win, we loses. When I win, we loses. You remember that. And wherever you go, there you are. Submissive competition. Humility. What would a humble person do? They're going to be under the hand of God. They're going to be exalted. They're going to be blessed. They're going to be graced. Latter part of that verse says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Peter is saying, if your one another relationships look like this, God's going to bless you. He's going to put favor on you. He's going to exalt that relationship in due time. You're going to be under His hands, protected and honored, cared for, comforted, blessed. And He's given you an invitation to unload on God. Cast. How violent is a casting motion? Do you ever think about it? You put a 3-ounce, 4-ounce thing out on the end of a 7-foot rod or 6-foot or 5.5, whatever yours is, and you take it in both hands, and the whipping motion is probably one of the most violent thought processes of engineering of engineering feat that you can imagine. To take this and do that and to be able to throw it up to 50 yards, 40 yards, that's violent. And Peter uses that, says cast. He's not saying this kind of cast. He's saying unload your anxieties, your cares, on God. If you'll do this, then I'm telling you, if you'll cast your cares on God. He cares for you. In other words, unload your stuff on God. Bring your anxieties. Cares is anxieties. Bring your anxiousness. All of those one another anxieties. All of these fits of rage that you have. All of your cares. All of your frustrations in your one another relationship. In your marriages. In your church relationship. Cast them, unload them on God because He cares for you. All the he said, she said. But preacher, they treated me. Well, they talked about me. And they said this about my kids. And I don't like the way they done this. And they did, or they didn't do. But they hurt me. They took advantage of me. They abused me. Cast, unload that kind of thinking on God. Cast. You know what? But quit praying these formal little rehearsed prayers. That's what he's saying. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless Susie, Billy, Johnny. Amen. That he said, she said. They did this, that, they, that. Cast that on God. You want your marriage? You want your neighbor? You want that unsafe person in your life? You want your God relationship to be? You say, I just don't feel God. You want that repaired? You want that exalted where He's not leaning back? You start being a humble person that's submissive in all your relationships. And then you can cast that and you'll see God start taking care of some of that stuff. That's what he says. Cast your cares upon me. Quit praying these formal rehearsed prayers. Just be honest. Get alone and get on your knees and raise your hands maybe and say, hey God, I'm right here. I need you to take care of this for me. Please, God, please. This is a mess and I've been a part of it. And first of all, I'm going to stop and confess. That's humility within itself. I'm part of that problem. I need your help. And where you've leaned back from me, I'm leaning into you. And you'll see God work in your life. You know this? On your knees and raising your hands. I need help. What does a little child do whenever they want picked up? They raise their hands. Maybe you need to get on your knees and raise your hands and say, God, I need help. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of what's bothering me. I'm going to humble myself to you, God, first. And I'm going to confess my issues to you, God, first. And I'm going to get to the place that I'm going to ask myself, what does a humble person do? And then maybe, just maybe, God, you'll lean in instead of leaning back and start working in my relationship. Told you before that a part of my job description while working as a construction manager for the state of Ohio and the company that we worked for the state with was that of a third-party arbitrator. claims negotiator, when you're dealing with major contracts, there's always these high-dollar claims. I mean, $400,000 or $500,000 sometimes. Millions of dollars they can be. And they're between the contractors and the owners. School boards was what, hospitals, cities that build parking garages, what ours was. Frost, Brown, and Todd, a highly recognized, respected law firm in Cincinnati, was who our lawyers were. And they taught us something about posture. All lawyers know this. I'd forgot about it until studying for this message. They taught us whenever we'd go into depositions to sit with our elbows on our laps, our hands on our knees, with our palms up. You know why? Because you can't be defensive when you're sitting with your elbows on your knees and your hands palms up under a table. Posture means something, because posture gets in your head. Posture gets in your head if you'll get on your knees and spend some time talking to your God with your hands up, humbly asking for His help. Your one another relationship with God. When's the last time that you was on your knees over your relationships? When's the last time? Why, preacher? Why is that? Because your body's connected to your mind is the reason why. And posture controls your thinking. And what you've been doing is this to God in the primary relationship. You've got a stiff arm out instead of being on your knees in a posture of, I need your help. When's the last time that you have been on your knees? When's the last time that you begged for His help? When's the last time you said, well, I got saved, I was on my knees. How long ago has that been? Ooh, that makes you think, huh? Have you stiff-armed God? Have you stiff-armed the people that you love? Have you stiff-armed and not in a submissive competition? What would a humble person do? I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes, and I want to ask you a question. Have you rejected God's Son, first of all? Have you rejected the Savior by saying, I don't really need that? Think about it. Think about it. Why don't you right now? You can do it right where you sit. Why don't you just slip out? Come up here and get on your knees at this altar.
Say, God, I'm sorry. Say, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed not to. Maybe just maybe, you need to raise your hand and say, God, help me. I don't know in a crowd like this. But maybe someone's here that's having relationship problems. We all do from time to time. But it's not a submitting. It's not a humble evaluation. Why don't you come and kneel? What's your one another relational concerns? When's the last time you cast that and unloaded it on God? Instead of trying to handle it all yourself. Father God, I'm confident that there's many of us in this room that have to stop and evaluate the transformation of our lives that has or has not happened in this area. And think, where am I at? Is God leaning in, or God, are you leaning out? Are you blessing and exalting, or am I in a standstill or a quagmire? I pray this morning that You'd open us up, our mind, our eyes, our thinking. Help us to look at where we are and realize it's you, it's me, it's us. And wherever I've went, I'm there. And I've brought baggage with me in a relationship. Holy Spirit, please, if there's someone here doesn't know you as their personal Savior, comfort that individual to realize they're in a safe place. We're not going to judge, condemn, have a condescending heart or attitude. We just want them to come to the saving knowledge of the Savior. Please, God, please, work in our midst. With heads bowed and eyes closed, before I finish praying, is there anyone here that say, Preacher, that's me. Will you pray for me before you quit praying? I don't know Christ as my Savior. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me before you finish. Anybody? Anybody at all? We're not going to come and get a hold of you. We're not going to drag you down and out. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? Be honest this morning. You'd say, yeah, that's me. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody? Father God, have your way in this time of invitation. Move amongst all of us. Help us to realize the relevancy and application as you speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand.